Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Outer Rim. This is episode 74. I'm your host, Chris McGuffin, and I have the crew here with me, Mike and Lindsay. How are you both doing?
Good.
Other than the massive torrential rain that is pouring outside, it looks like Camino, actually.
Or it could be Arcanus, which is my favorite.
That is stricken from canon. Lindsay, we don't talk about Arcanus.
Hey, that's where Hux comes from.
Stricken.
Yeah, the rain hasn't hit us in San Diego yet. I'll be getting it in another two or three hours.
Yeah, it's definitely moving south right now.
Yeah.
But hey, new week, new news.
Yeah. We have quite a bit of news, actually. Lots of Last Jedi stuff, as well as some merchandise announcements, and a few other little tidbits that we'll get to closer to the end of the show. But right now, I guess we can just start off with all of the Last Jedi announcements.
Let's do it.
First one was that Rian Johnson and Kathleen Kennedy will be attending Celebration in Orlando almost next month.
Yeah. Not
it's
ready.
February. It's next month.
Yeah. Close. It's close
last,
enough.
The last 2 weeks in February don't count.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes we have to even add a day. I just don't get it.
So, yeah.
But yeah, so they will be attending a panel for that movie. It'll actually be on Friday morning instead of Thursday, like The Force Awakens was. So that's interesting. I was kind of surprised at this because I remember last time that they had it on Thursday morning to kick everything off and everybody lined up, and now it's just on Friday. So what do you guys think about that? Will you be I know Mike's not going, but Lindsay, will
yeah,
you
yeah, unfortunately, I'm not.
Will you be attending this? Or are you going to stick it out?
I will not be attending this panel, let me tell you.
Really? Why not?
So I'm excited about the panel. That's great. It's the panel that everybody's going to be wanting to go to. I costume. I like to sleep in a bed. I am not the person to sleep out on the sidewalk for a panel. I've never been that person, so I can't bring myself to do this, even for this panel. Like, the only stuff that won't get out is any exclusive, footage. And while I would really like to see that, I'm not gonna lose out on the stuff that I would see on Thursday to be in line for the panel on Friday, because people are gonna start lining up. Depending on what Reed Pop does, and Reed Pop can be incredibly strict about lines. It's going to be really, let me put it this way. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do for their line situation, because the only time I ever see people do lineups for things for a Reed Pop show is New York Comic Con. But due to New York laws, you can't have people line up until a certain hour. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of restricts the way that people line up during New York Comic Con. So it'll be very interesting to see how that works in Orlando and how Reed Pop's going to handle it. Because I would think that there would be people who would start lining up on Thursday morning for the panel on Friday, whenever it is, for Friday morning, and would wait 24 hours. That's just not me. If I could get into the panel after waiting for 4 or 5 hours, like, that's one thing, but that's not going to be this panel. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason I'm not going. I'm super psyched about it and it's awesome, but I just can't wait like that. And maybe I'm overestimating how crazy the line's going to be, but I don't think I am.
Well, it'll be an interesting, I guess, experiment almost, because I don't know how it was for the Celebration London this past summer. I'd have to ask someone that went. Mm-hmm. But I do know that with the Anaheim one, first of all, that was on the first day, and literally they had the lines inside, which was good. If they do the same thing for Orlando, I think it'll be a lot better than if it had to be outside. But here's the thing. I'm not sure if it will be as popular, because, like you said, you're going to have people that will do it you know, start of Thursday, and I don't want to do that. I'm not wasting half of the first day, you know, lining up. I care, but I don't care. And personally, I mean, both of you go to conventions all the time. You know how tiring a con can get, especially if you're somebody that, you know, has to worry about, like, doing interviews or getting to a certain panel you want to attend or, you know, cosplay. And I just, you know, if I do this, it will be with friends that also want to go. Otherwise, I'll just sleep, and then while everyone else is lining up, I'll just watch the stream on YouTube, because you know they're going to stream it again. And if I miss some exclusive, I'll probably hear about it later. So
yeah, it's I'm too used to San Diego Comic-Con and the craziness of people lining up. Like, I mean, before they started doing wristbands, people lining up for days, you know, a couple days ahead of time for Hall H. And
Exactly.
I know that there are people older than me that line up for this stuff, but I feel too old for this stuff.
Exactly. Like, I've done Hall H before, and I feel like I'm too old. I get why people do it. I really do. But it's like, I'm with you. I feel like I'm too old for it now than H before. And I've written and posted things while Hall H is going on. Like, yeah. There's almost no point to it anymore. Like, back before the internet, I get it. Back before cell phones, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Now
I don't see the point in camping out overnight. Like, to be there part of the crowd, and like, Lindsay, you were there like when we did the Tron thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for those of you who don't know, for Tron Legacy, for the Tron panel at Hall H, they recorded the entire 6,000 person theater and used that audio in the crowd scene in Tron Legacy. So I like to say I have, you know, a Tron credit in my IMDb. So,
yeah.
You know, but
yeah. But yeah, and
for cool stuff like that, I get.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to really love it, and I don't want to say I don't love Star Wars, but I wouldn't camp out for an announcement like this.
Yeah, and personally, I don't care about. I mean, they're not going to hold off on showing a trailer.
A trailer
there,
yeah, definitely,
and not online like they did for London with Rogue One, because Rogue One was a smaller movie that not as many people care about, but the internet. And people that go to the con but not to the panel will go insane.
Yeah, and like, it's one of those things. Like, one of the reasons I like going to smaller panels is it just feels more intimate, and you can see people up closer. And I don't feel like, unless you're in the first like 10 or 15 rows, you're still having to watch everything on monitors.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still you almost get a better experience watching it on YouTube, because especially if they're doing a live stream, it's going to be shot much better than, you know, you having to watch it on a telescreen and having to crane yourself around whoever you're sitting around. And it's not always, and you're usually tired and you're like, oh, I want to go to the bathroom, but I can't go to the bathroom because I don't want to miss my spot and climb through all these people. And I mean, it's fun, but it's just all about what you want your con experience to be. And I don't knock anybody who really, really wants to go. That's a great thing. But like, if they have I'd rather go to like a Rebels panel, which will still be hard to get into, but less so.
I kind of hope that they do something like New York Comic Con did. And I don't know if this was the first time they did it, but I know when I went last October, you had to, when you got there, you picked a line for a panel that was coming up later in the day, and you go and you tap your badge, and then you pretty much reserve your spot in line, and you can go do whatever else you want. And like an hour or so before, you come back and get in line, and then they put you in the main hall. I wouldn't mind something like that, because
if it's done right. Yeah. Read Pop. That is the second year they've done that for New York Comic Con. The first year didn't go so hot. They've gotten it under control. I think the second year, I think they've done a much better job.
Mm-hmm.
I I don't think they use it at any – they don't use it at Emerald City, and they don't use it at C2E2, as far as I understand, just because those cons are much smaller and people – you really don't have an issue of getting into panels most of the time. Mm-hmm. You usually just have to wait a couple hours to get into panels, and even some of the bigger celebrities, you just sit for the panel, you know, the panel before.
Yeah.
And then – but it's not a big deal. If Reed – I have a feeling Reed Pop probably – will run, again, it's just my hunch. I would assume that they'd run it the same way they do New York Comic Con, given the demand for the big ticket panels. That's just a hypothesis, but mm-hmm. I would assume they'd do something like that as well. But it's just for the main hall. But
yeah. So we'll have to see later on what kind of ticketing and wristband things they decide to do, if any. I just hope it's organized. Mm-hmm. That's all I want.
Right. Yeah, I think they would. Hmm. But that's just – I think Reed Pop has to run their Star Wars celebrations more like New York Comic Con rather than one of their other small cons.
Yeah, I agree. So we did get some more The Last Jedi kind of news, I guess. Apparently, when you translate The Last Jedi into a foreign language like German or Spanish, mm-hmm. it's revealed that Jedi is plural. Now, we all know that Jedi can be both singular and plural in this case, but this specific title is plural.
Plural.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That I guess that answers our question.
Mm-hmm. Because I know we talked about that, I think, last week, didn't we?
I think it was the week before.
Week before.
Yeah, no, yeah, because we both said, like, we're in, like, Jedi is plural camp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was good that that is actually kind of confirmed now. Hopefully it's not a translation error.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, you can't rely on it being perfectly translated. Like Revenge of the Sith, how it was translated into Chinese and then back into English. Like, and it's not Revenge of the Sith anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't, I get why people are latching on to this, but it's not a definitive clue, because also titles are different in different languages too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't 100% confirmed to
yeah.
me.
We'll just have to wait and see for the movie, I guess. Finally, to round out our Last Jedi news, we found out that the new actor for R2-D2 is Jimmy V. And I have no idea who this guy is, but apparently he appeared in Harry Potter and in multiple roles in Doctor Who. No one that I really recognized when I looked up his credit. So, no idea who he is, but he's the new R2. So, it's good that they are actually, you know, replacing Kenny Baker and not just throwing off, you know, physical actors that, you know, can do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because and correct me if I'm wrong, but was R2 completely CG in the prequels?
No. There are specific scenes where, like, Kenny Baker was still in R2.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, most of the scenes you could see, like, his legs in R2's legs.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much only when R2's rolling around, that's when it was the model. And then, obviously, like, when he was flying, like, they were suspending Kenny Baker. So that's all him, too. I kid. But, no, but that's...
That'd be an interesting sight.
But yeah, like... You still need someone in that suit to really help convey that emotion.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, and a guy with, you know, as much experience as, you know, this actor can probably pull it off.
Yeah, like, it says he was in Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
And he's usually under a lot of prosthetics when he's doing this stuff, so he's used to doing a lot of acting under... that kind of work, which, you know, it's a lot of character work, a lot of miming, a lot of knowing how to control your body
mm-hmm.
and using just your facial expressions, which is what he'll need as R2, obviously.
Yeah. I think it's one thing that I kind of think about is Peter Mayhew. He didn't have as big of a role in The Force Awakens as he did in previous movies, obviously because of his age. But you can tell just in some of the scenes where Chewie is just like standing or sitting down, you can tell it's Peter just by his mannerisms and the way that, you know, he does things. I think there's one scene in particular. I can't remember which one it is, just because I've not watched TFA in a while, probably close to a year now. But I think R2 kind of has that same way. And I just hope that, you know, we don't lose that bit of magic that you get from those performances. Does that make sense?
No, that definitely makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make sure. I know when I ramble sometimes, I don't completely make sense. So.
No, it makes sense.
Okay.
So,
and
moving.
It's gonna be I was just going to say it's going to be interesting because unlike Peter Mayhew, there wasn't someone in the wings being trained to take over for him.
Yeah.
We know. Yeah, no, exactly. For R2. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's cool that they were able to kind of get somebody right on board.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, kind of getting off of Last Jedi, but not entirely.
Mm-hmm.
We got the box art from the new merchandise campaign, conveniently on the same weekend as Toy Fair International in New York.
Yes. Which none of us could make.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, and as of right now, as of recording Friday, February 17th, there aren't any Star Wars toys announcements, but I've been keeping my eye out. I'm thoroughly interested. Like I mentioned last week, like I don't like collecting American figures as much, but it doesn't mean I don't want to look at all of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm very interested because we've been getting like the Black Series figures of some of the Rebels characters, like we got Ahsoka, we got Kanan, we got just the Sabine starting to hit shelves right now. Mm-hmm. Hera was shown off at Comic-Con. Like,
there's Ezra's Black Series Seventh Sister too.
Yeah,
I think
not in the six scale. In the small scale, there is.
Oh yeah, there's a small scale. Yeah,
but nobody cares about the small scale. I'm talking about the six scale.
Yes, I agree.
And the 6-inch, like. That's what I'm mostly interested in. But going back to this box art, it's very fascinating. You know, it's leading with Rey right in the middle with the mm-hmm. lightsaber. She's got a new hairstyle.
Mm-hmm. Yep, her hair's down. She seems to be wearing the same outfit, if maybe a darker colored shirt.
Her shirt looks
like a different color, maybe a little darker, but the rest of her like wrappings look the same. But her hair's down. But her hair hasn't really grown. It looks like her hair is just down.
Well, her three loopies on the back of her head are now Padawan braids, so she has three of those coming down the back.
I can kind of see a couple.
I'm kidding.
No. Yeah, no, but she actually has, no, she actually has, it looks like she clearly has her hair half pulled up, and it looks like she might have some form of a braid-ish something on, tucked behind one ear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying like a Padawan braid, but she has something going on behind one of her ears. Because some of her hair is in front of one ear, and then behind her ear, she has some things. Or it could be a red. It's hard to tell because none of the images of just that box art is really clear. So it's either one of the little red slashes.
We don't have a straight on picture of the box art just yet. Like we have it, the box art is angled, so you can't make out every detail.
Yeah, someone's isolated it and straightened it, and that's where there may be some distortion, and that's why I might be reading some weird funky thing behind her ear that might not actually exist. But it is clear that her hair is like half up, half down.
But we can also confirm that Finn has a new shirt, but the same jacket.
he's still wearing Poe's jacket.
Still wearing Poe's jacket.
Poe still has a helmet that doesn't fit him.
Yeah. Yeah, so Poe's still wearing, but I mean, he's also in his flight suit still, too, so.
Yeah, and it's dirtier.
I mean, but that could just be the design. Lightning. But it's just, but yeah. It's just interesting because this is the first time they've had like hero characters on the box art since like the Clone Wars push, like when it, when all of the merchandise had Rex on it for a while.
And notice it's all good guys.
Yeah, yeah, so this is
that's true.
So it's interesting.
So it's not like they're, you know, because for a while there, like there was a, not in this box art, but a lot of the box art always pushed Darth Vader. And well, yeah, so this Kylo box
Ren
art
was,
is
Kylo Ren was the last one. Vader, yeah. Maul was on it when Episode One was back in theaters. Like,
and so this is three hero characters.
Yep. Hopefully, and this like, is a hero movie then.
Yeah. And obviously, like, I don't think it means anything with the boys, like, jetting off to opposite ends and she's looking forward. It just is dynamic. It looks good. Balance. It's the rule of threes, so.
They had a similar thing with TFA. I don't know if it wasn't the merchandise, but it was some other kind of marketing campaign where they had Rey looking one way, Finn in the middle with a lightsaber, and then Poe looking the other way, again, with his helmet. But so this is kind of similar. They just swap places. And Rey has a lightsaber.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, but that is also that also came with the kind of news that Force Friday 2 is going to be on September 1st, like we suspected. But they're calling it Force Friday 2, which is weird because didn't we have a Force Friday for Rogue One?
That's what I thought, but I guess the one like, Rogue One didn't count.
Apparently not, yeah, because I was like, I'm pretty sure there was Force Friday stuff, but hey, all right, whatever.
I mean, I'll if this is... we me and Lou talked about this on the most recent episode of Echo Base that we recorded this week. We talked about our expectations for the next Force Friday, and I'm curious what you guys think. I won't spoil my thoughts here. I'll let people, if they want to hear, they can go listen to Echo Base. But what do you guys think? Do you think this will be, you know, kind of the same hype? Or is this just another event that you don't really care about? Because TFA was pretty big when we had the toy launch. Like, we had not only the main merchandise, but we had other brands that wasn't Hasbro putting out cool things. Like, you had the Sphere BB-8. You had, the drones that were popular. And then you even had the smaller, lesser-known products like BB-8 oranges and 8 water bottles, like actual individually packaged bottles of water. And I wonder if we'll see that kind of surge again with The Last Jedi, or if that was simply a, hey, Star Wars is back, we're, you know, getting rid of the phenomenon type of thing.
I think we will. I mean, there's Rogue One cereal still, and I'm sure you can still get Phantom Menace Snapples.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that's overly what this means, is that it's going to be that big of a push again. And like I said last week, like I think I'm gonna sit back and not do it. Like, for me, the first Force Friday was a bust, but that was specifically because of how hard it was to find the obviously more popular stuff. So, and I think it was probably that made me want to stop collecting American action figures, like, because it was just so hard to find anything good, or at least like something I really wanted. But yeah, it's really weird. And I might buy, like, because I bought the Revell X-Wings, which are really nice, you know, for a model. And I love A-Wings, and we know A-Wings are going to be in this movie, so if I get a Revell A-Wing in that same scale, like, that's going to be my Force Friday purchase. But that's pretty much it for me.
If that new... okay, so Speaking of BB-8 toys, I had looked. I was really excited for the Sphero until it came out, and it was like super tiny. And then, right at, like maybe a couple months after that, someone had talked about. There was a company that was talking about putting out a better version of the BB-8 Sphero. Like, it was going to be like the Sphero, but better, bigger and better. And it was supposed to come out this Christmas, and it's never arrived. And I can't find anything about it. But if that ever showed up on Force Friday, if that suddenly appeared in stores on Force Friday, that's what I would buy. Because I wanted a BB-8 that actually, like, rolled to me and talked to me and did, like, actually had the sounds in the BB-8 as opposed to the Sphero, which plays the BB-8 sounds on it's on your phone, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, I'll, you know, if there's anything interesting, I'll get it, but that's kind of the way I am about toys in general. I won't go out of my way to get anything specific. Like, I won't go out of my way on Force Friday to get anything unless I really, really think it won't be out there the yeah. next day. And considering who I like, I really don't think I don't think I have to worry. But I tend to like more I tend to like more unique things. Like, I tend to like things that I might have to get made for me, or like Mike likes, like, I like a lot of like unique figurines. I might just wait for the Hot Toys to come out and get a Hot Toy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd rather save up my money and buy a really, really nice thing than buy a lot of other, you know, buy a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want the Sphero BB-8 still. I almost got it when it came out because I happened to stumble upon one at Barnes & Noble. And this was during the time that literally you couldn't find one. And I held off on it. And, you know, now you can find them, you know, everywhere. But I still want it, but I kind of should think I should hold off just in case they release an updated version for The Last Jedi.
I'm telling you, there was this really... I will find the article sometime and send it to you.
Okay.
About this mysterious one that never appeared, and I wonder what happened to it. Because when all of my friends were talking about it, we were really psyched about it, and it just disappeared off the world, the face of the earth. But it's kind of like the projection. They made a R2-D2 that has a really cool like movie projector in it.
Mm-hmm.
They came out like during I guess like 19, like a few years ago, and now it's impossible to get without paying a lot of money. Hmm. But it's really cool. I think it was sold at the Sharper Image, if that gives you a good basis. Since Sharper Images no longer exists. Yeah. But yeah, like it's the neat stuff. And I mean, the Sphero is cool. It's just not what I wanted it to be.
Yeah. I think you can say that about a lot of Star Wars merchandise, to be honest.
Yeah, and I can't justify collecting for the sake of collecting anymore like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to hold off.
Oh, well. See, if you want to hear more Force Friday discussion in greater detail, listen to me and Lou. I think it's Echo Bay's episode 89, if I'm not mistaken. 89, 90, something like that. It's not, as of this recording, it's not posted yet, but it should be here soon. So, anyways, continuing on. I don't know if we should talk. I'm going to save the juicy stuff for last. I kind of want to throw this little tidbit in. John Williams won a Grammy.
Yay!
So enthusiastic. He won the Grammy for Best Score Soundtrack for Visual Media, obviously for The Force Awakens. And I guess, I as a music guy, I'm perfectly fine with that. I mean, Grammy, I could really care less because I think the Grammys are dumb. But hey, Star Wars wins an award, and I'm fine with it. Especially since the TFA soundtrack kind of underperformed, you know, in some people's opinions. I liked it, but John Williams deserves it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely does. And I mean, man's 85 years old, so how cool is that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to see Star Wars getting a, I mean, not big name award, but it's something other than effects. So it's good. Because I think he also won Grammys for Star Wars, at least once, maybe twice before. I should know this, but anyway, I don't know. I know he's
you would be the guy
before.
To know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was for I want to say the original movie and Empire, or one or the other, one of those. I can't remember. I just happened to see that, and I obviously have forgotten. So, oh well. But yes, congrats, John Williams. Hopefully you can do the same thing for episode 8. So yeah, last two rumors here, and there's not no spoilers here, so don't worry. They both involve TV, and I want to read both of them at the same time, because I don't think they're connected at all, but I guess we can kind of discuss the future of Star Wars on TV by this. The first one, a rumor came out kind of earlier this week, I think, although this has been speculated, you know, ever since the start of the season, is Star Wars Rebels going to end after season 3? Because it's yet to be officially renewed, and kind of this time last year is when it was renewed for season 3. So, even though we have apparently Freddie Prinze Jr. saying that they've recorded dialogue for another season, maybe Rebels is coming to an end after the next few episodes. Who knows? Again, no announcements have been made either way. And also, a couple of sites I saw were reporting that the IMDb page for Star Wars Underworld, yes, the thing that has been in production, well, pre-production, really, since
2007. God.
Yeah, I think it was actually like 2005, 2006 when it first started getting...
I was at the celebration where they announced it.
Yeah.
And I have to go, Star Wars Underworld what?
It was a.
I've never heard
so
of it.
This was back after episode 3, when Lucas was trying to figure out what to do next. It was like his plan of attack, and there's a great image if you can find it, where it was his plan for the next couple of years was like Star Wars Clone Wars, an untitled project, and then Star Wars Underworld, which was supposed to kind of be about Boba Fett.
Kind of.
Okay.
Not totally, but he's like not one totally, of the main characters.
Yeah.
And it was kind of exploring like the seedy underworld of the Star Wars universe that we don't really get to see in the movies. It was this big budget, you know, HBO style show. Like, they made hours upon hours upon hours of scripts, and it's just never been made.
Yeah, like, it was...
So it's been stuck in, like, development hell.
Pretty much.
Well, it kind of just stopped, though, too. Like, Luke, it got way too expensive. Like, Clone Wars is a couple million an episode. Like, this was budgeted to be way more.
Yeah.
Per episode. Like, it was so expensive, like, literally no network was gonna want it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So unless Lucas put up all the money himself.
Mm-hmm. But the reason we bring it up is because someone purposely or just, you know, for fun, edited the IMDb page to say that it was premiering in December 2018, which is kind of close. So honestly, I think it's not a hoax, but I think people are just, you know, going and editing it just for fun. I highly doubt this happens. If it is, I mean, okay, I'll take it because it's Star Wars on TV and it means I don't have to leave my house. But this, coupled with the Rebels news, where do we see Star Wars on TV in the next few years? I mean, we're supposedly getting another animated series, which I'd be fine with, but, you know, should we have a live-action series? I have written in the show notes, do we even need something like Star Wars Underworld anymore? Because I don't think we do.
I personally don't think we do. As far as Rebels goes, we're probably going to talk about it on Ghost Stories, because that's coming back this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've heard things about season 4 already, and it, granted, it hasn't officially been announced that it's been renewed. I don't think so. I don't think it's gonna. I think we got a season four. I think season four, if anything, would be the last season.
I hope you're right, Mike. Disney XD has smashed my hopes and dreams one too many times. So I hope you're right.
I mean, unless they don't have anything in the pipeline, that would be a dumb thing. This is their highest rated boys show.
I have just been really burned from Tron Uprising. So
Tron Uprising was a different thing. Like, that was never going to be a series. Like, I liked Tron Uprising,
but
too.
But it was a very good show.
No, it definitely was, but
it
was...
it had a second season in it, and they just wouldn't give it... They wouldn't put... I just got burned, and so I'm nervous. Yeah.
Like, Uprising came out a year too late.
Yeah.
You know, after all the hype for the movie was gone. What I'm saying for Rebels, though, like... This show consistently outperforms the Marvel shows.
Which is good, like, yeah. Which always surprises me.
Which
considering how they're so inconsistent on... showing it. Like, I mean, they're inconsistent on most. I mean, let's be honest, Disney XD is not consistent in the way that they show their shows. They'll show them for 2 weeks and then take a break, and then for 3 weeks straight and then a break, and then one episode and then a break, which is very frustrating. But the fact that it's, you know, overperforming and people are continuing to stay with it is a really positive thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we at least have a season four. If anything, that will be the last season.
I would say that the season four would be the last season if they got a season four, and I hope they do.
And so, and then switching gears to Underworld, I don't know if you guys caught it within the last day or two. Like, Pablo was kind of trolling everybody by showing he tweeted a picture of the crowds of people that want a Netflix Old Republic show. Mm-hmm. And it's a picture of, you know, Trump's inauguration crowd.
Oh, that's so mean.
And it was great. I died. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. I don't know if the two are connected in any way, but
Trump and the Old Republic.
No, the Pablo joking.
Well, no, I have seen people basically asking recently on Twitter, saying I have seen people in recent weeks, in the past month, really, basically on Twitter being like, we need a new Old Republic TV show. Netflix should give us an Old Republic show.
Everyone's been saying that since Disney took over. Like,
I know.
People have been saying that. There's been the petitions, which are dumb. Like, I'm sorry, guys. That's not the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I've been seeing it like more often for some reason. Like, I don't know why there's been an uptick in the past like month, but that might be why he tweeted about it.
I mean, maybe, but I don't know. Do we need a live action show? We're getting a movie every year.
No.
It would rhetorical. Be cool, but you don't need it.
I was being rhetorical, but no, we don't. Like, we don't need it anymore. Like, we're getting a movie every year now.
Yep.
Like, a movie would... And people talk about, like, oh, there's too much Star Wars now. A live-action show would be probably that breaking point.
Yeah.
Like, that would be the too much Star Wars that people are complaining about.
Yeah.
At least for me.
I see that. I agree.
I wouldn't mind a half-hour sitcom about janitors on a... just lowly janitors.
Well, yeah, like if we had
Republic,
like
of the Republic and of the Empire, and they somehow meet and start bumbling. Like, let's have a comedy show. Then we'll really have too much Star Wars. The minute we get a comedy show.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there was that comic by Dark Horse, where it was basically like the two bumbling guys of Star Wars, and they were kind of everywhere. It's kind of like the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern of Star Wars. I can't remember.
I remember what you're talking about.
Tag and Bink.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a show about Tag and Bink would be awesome.
Yeah, like something fun, and I mean, it doesn't even have to be. It could be it could be a cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Like we have like the Freemaker Adventures, which is kind of our silly Star Wars entry. Like I don't know why they still want to make Detours. That just seemed like a terrible idea. Like I'd rather have this. Like this would be a little bit funnier.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Not everything has to be like the seedy underworld. We're going to the underworld of Star Wars.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be gritty or dark.
Yeah, there's so many people who want that, and it's like I get it. Like you've got your Mandalorian tattoos. I get it. Like, look,
some people just want to see more Twi'lek strippers.
I mean, I do. So,
well, so does. So does someone who lives in your apartment.
Yes, Mike. I know. My wife does too. I'm just saying, like, I mean, we don't, just because we want it, we don't need it.
Doesn't need it. Yes. It's like a good piece of cake. You can eat one. A piece of cake is good. Eating a whole cake is going to make you very sick.
So
you know, speaking of things we don't need, a new Star Wars novel was announced today.
Nice.
It's called Star Wars Inferno Squad by Christy Golden. It will be coming out this summer, July 25th. And the basic premise of it is they released a longer description, but who cares? My description is that Inferno Squad, who is affiliated with the Empire, will be hunting down the remains of Saw Gerrera's partisans. So it's technically a Rogue One sequel, which, okay, but why? What does this have to do with anything? Why are we getting this?
I like the idea of, like, the books that you talked about previously, the ones that are kind of the little prequel novels. I still wish that the one about the temple wasn't a kid's book. I wish it was going to be in a at least a young adult or, you know, an adult novel, just reading level wise. But July, like that's a year and a half after the movie came out. Or wait, yeah. Sorry. July. Yeah. Half a year afterwards. I don't know who really cares about Saw Gerrera's partisans. Like genuinely, like I don't know who cares about them. Now, if you're reading
Bendu fanatics,
Hey, it was mumbled. It was mumbled. Saw Gerrera needs to articulate. But if it's from the Imperial perspective, like, okay, but still, everyone we cared about in Rogue One is dead.
Yeah.
For the most part. So I don't know who's going to be the emotional tie-in here that's going to make people want to read it, because you've got to have something that makes you want to read it. Like the Aftermath books, the reason people read the Aftermath books is, I mean, they're Singer, and they're also also you're reading to find out what the heck happened to cause the rise of the First Order and the Resistance and the Rebellion to become the, you know, become what it is today. Like you're reading the Aftermath books to understand what happened between Return of the Jedi and, you know, if The Force Awakens. I get those books. Those books are fine to me if the writing is sometimes inconsistent. This book doesn't make sense to me whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Sorry, yeah. I went on a rant there. But I like Star Wars books a lot, but this one I don't understand.
If this is a military-ish novel, similar to how the Republic Commando books were, okay, I'm a little bit more leaning towards let's have it just because it's something that we don't always get in the Star Wars book world. But then I'm also thinking, how about you make a video game? I'm one of those people that really want a sequel to Republic Commando, the game, and I will be crying for it. I don't care about Battlefront. I want Republic Commando number 2 or Imperial Commando or whatever you want to call it. But why can't you make this into a video game? Like, why does it have to be a book that I don't care about?
Because books take less time to make than video games.
That is true.
That's the only answer I got. And
yeah, you got to pay more people when you're making a video game. So
I guess I'll just be angsty for the rest of the time until I get. I'm hoping that one of these days there will be a Star Wars book that I pick up and I can't put down because I've not had that in a really long time. One of these days, hopefully.
You didn't like the Crystal Star?
If you could only see the glare that I'm giving you right now. Okay, so the last bit here is last week we talked about autographs and autograph pricing, specifically Star Wars related ones. And I was able to sit down with one of our Patreon donors. His name is Kyle. And because he is apparently a Star Wars autograph collector, which I, you know, more power to him. That's fine. So I sat down with him to talk a little bit about that, kind of get his reaction on, you know, the stuff that we talked about last week and also tips and tricks for people who are interested in purchasing Star Wars autographs. So take a listen and we'll be right back. All right. So I am here with someone who is very, well, I wouldn't call him an expert per se in Star Wars autographs, but well, he might be an expert. We'll just have to find out. One of our Patreon donors, Kyle, is a collector of Star Wars autographs. And given that last week on the Outer Rim, we talked about the pricing of Felicity Jones's autograph and photo op at Celebration, I kind of needed to get a follow-up from someone who is in the know when it comes to these things. So, Kyle, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great.
So, you obviously are a Star Wars autograph collector, like I said. What motivates you to do that? Because I know autographs to some people, just like, it's a piece of paper with a signature and, you know, sometimes a picture. Like, why autographs?
Yeah, I've heard that many times. It seems like people either can understand it or they just don't get it, you know? Mm-hmm. I think the main part of it for me is it's just great to meet, you know, an actor that's been in a Star Wars movie and maybe in your mind gets a little bit closer to being, you know, a part of that experience, maybe brings you into the movie a little more. And then, you know, when you get home, you have this nice photo you can hang up on your wall and, you know, remember, hey, oh, I met Carrie Fisher or something like that. Mm-hmm.
So with autographs, do you, like, go to conventions and have them sign the things, or do you just, like, purchase them online and get them sent to you?
Usually, I will use whatever photos they have available at the convention, because most of the time, they have their best shots with them, so no need, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
But if you know that you want to have something special signed, like maybe like a poster, then you would, you know, order it in advance and bring it to the show. But most of the time, you just buy it off their table, and the photos are usually at very high quality at the shows.
So I assume then you get most of yours at cons or, you know, at personal appearances, stuff like that.
Yeah, I try to, you know, acquire most of my autographs in person. I have bought a few online before, but, you know, it's really hard to trust, you know, most vendors and that online, especially if you don't have a relationship with them or anything.
I can see that. So I'm curious, how many autographs do you have, specifically Star Wars, and who is your favorite?
Well, my favorite autograph photo I have is of Kenny Baker and Anthony Daniels. That was the first photo I had with multiple signatures on it, and it took me a while to get both signatures. So I'm really proud of that one, just as a, you know, from that perspective, I probably have maybe 15 or 20 Star Wars autographs.
It's, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was expecting like 10.
No, I have like, I mostly collect Star Wars autographs and I have a couple binders of autographs. So I'm probably looking at close to 20 at this point. So, you know, like Mark Hamill was a really great person to meet and get a photo signed. He really takes the time with the fans and makes it feel like a worthwhile experience, because when you're spending so much money on these photos, you don't just want to go up to the table, have the guy sign it, not even look at you and walk away. So
yeah.
It's really nice. Some people like Mark take the time, take the extra, you know, 30 seconds with you, have a conversation, and can make an impression with you.
Mm-hmm. I know at Celebration Anaheim, I had to stick around after the con ended to help the TFN and Official Picks people tear down their booth, and that, you know, they were the ones that were kind of handling all the celebrities there, and Mark was the last person, like famous person there signing stuff, because, you know, he had so many things to sign that people had sent in, and we, you know, kind of stuck around and talked to him, and he seemed legitimately like a person that if you, you know, go up to him and ask for his autograph, or, you know, you pay for it and you're in line and you wait all the time, that he will at least try to have a small conversation with you, you know, as time allows.
Oh, definitely. And I remember when I got his autograph, I believe it was at Celebration 5, the first one in Orlando, I was waiting in line and the convention hall closed and they turned the light, like half the lights off in the warehouse, but mm-hmm. he still stayed around and signed and made sure, you know, everyone got their signature for that day, so that was really nice of him.
Yeah, and you know, some people wouldn't do that.
Yeah, a lot of people would just leave. So,
yeah,
you know, not all signers are, you know, created equal.
Mm-hmm. That is true. So do you have a favorite, like a personal autograph memory of like when you met somebody in particular or something like that?
Well, recently I got to meet the BB-8 puppeteers at Dragon Con this past fall,
mm-hmm.
and that was just really memorable for me because it was the first time I could talk to a Star Wars actor, if you will, about like a movie that just came out. So it was really cool hearing like new stories as opposed to maybe stories we've heard before, since obviously the original trilogy has been around, you know, almost 40 years now.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was really great meeting them. They couldn't have been nicer.
So recently we got the announcement that Felicity Jones is going to be at Celebration Orlando, which I believe you were going to, right?
Yes, I'll be there, and I am very excited if Felicity will be there.
So she's only going to be there on Saturday, which is yep. you know, one of the pretty much the big day that, you know, most people are going to show up if they can only go like 1 or 2 days. And because of that, I think her autograph pricing is a little high. I think it was $400 for her autograph and $450, I believe, for a photo op. It might be $50 less for either of those, but I know it was around the $400 mark.
Well, no. Actually, Chris, it's $200 for an autograph.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And $250 for the photo.
Yes.
And they were, for some reason, packaging them together as $450, but you don't save any money there, so what's the point?
Really don't. I think I was thinking of the Star Wars Authentics website, which is the official place
to
get autographs. I think that's where it gets into the three and four hundreds.
That website's quite expensive.
Yeah. So what is your reaction to these prices as someone who is, you know, I'm assuming spent quite a bit of money on these autographs? You know, is this something that you are going to do? Do you think it's a good price? And, you know, maybe explain if you know how some of this stuff works.
Well, I was definitely excited about the announcement that Felicity will not only be there, but that she'd be doing autograph signings and photo opportunities. I really focus on the autographing part. At first glance, I was a little taken back by the price, but the more I thought about it, you know, I'm probably going to get her autograph because she's only done one Star Wars movie. Maybe she's not going to be at many of these conventions in the future. This could be our only chance as an autograph collector to get her signature in person and to get to meet her. or to get something personalized on the photo, which I really enjoy doing. I'm going to go into this upcoming celebration will be my fifth celebration. And as an autograph collector, after the first couple, you've kind of gotten everyone's autograph that you want. There aren't any new guests generally. So, you know, at the celebrations during the prequel years or just after the prequels, you know, we never had a, you know, main prequel actor really be there. At least that's of A-list status that would be, you know, on the same level as Felicity. Certainly not any of the leads in the movie showing up to the celebration. It's mostly the, you know, original trilogy folks and the side characters showing up, which, don't get me wrong, is great. But to have the opportunity to see the lead in the latest Star Wars movie is an opportunity that a lot of autograph collectors definitely don't want to pass up, even if it is expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bring up a good point. Like I've said before, Anaheim was my first, not only my first convention, but my first Star Wars convention. And you're right that, you know, previously we didn't really have anybody mainstream that wasn't, you know, one of the old original trilogy actors appear at a convention and do signings. I mean, even at Anaheim, which was probably one of the biggest, at least talked about conventions, compared to the other ones, because you had the hype of The Force Awakens.
Oh yeah.
They, you know, they didn't have anybody, obviously, that was doing that movie. You know, you had Carrie and Mark, but that was it. at least
in terms of
big names.
Right, and they weren't really there for episode 7. They would have been there anyway.
Exactly.
So,
I mean, you make a good point. I guess, you know, I was, as you heard on the show, I was kind of really bashing this for, or I'm assuming that Felicity is the one, or at least her agent or whoever represents her, is the one that sets the prices for this. So
generally, it's on the actor side of things, with the, I guess, Topps has taken over the autographing service this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they definitely probably set the prices for that.
So, yeah, I was saying that it's kind of, you know, too high. But, you know, you make a good point that, again, she might not show up again.
Mm-hmm.
This is cheaper than getting it online. And you get the added benefit of, you know, getting it in person. I just, you know, personally, I'm not an autograph guy. I have a few. The only autographs I own of people is Craig Ferguson, which is...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I got it at one of his stand-up shows, and it was like $25. And
oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love Craig.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get to meet him, unfortunately, but I did buy his autograph just because he's one of my favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few band signatures that I've gotten at concerts, and I have a Ray Park signature that he sent me for doing something on Twitter.
Oh, wow. That's very nice.
But so, you know, aside from that, I could really care less, but I admire the people like yourself that do, you know, collect these type of things.
Yeah. I mean, at the previous celebrations, you know, I was dying to see someone like, you know, Samuel Jackson, Natalie Portman, Ewan McGregor, all, you know, any of those people. But,
yeah,
you know, again, we never got that level of talent at the show. So I'm hoping that this is a first step into seeing the new Star Wars movie actors participate in the Star Wars conventions a little bit more. And I think it's a good sign. And, you know, it's also encouraging that, you know, the actors, you know, like Daisy and Oscar and all them are showing up at the conventions now, even if they're not signing.
Mm-hmm.
That at least gets, you know, at least you can see them as a fan.
Yep.
And all that, you know, so that, I think that's great. Because before Disney took over Star Wars, like, you know, there wasn't anything new to promote. So they didn't have any, you know, fresh faces around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully it is a step in the right direction. And, you know, we don't have any more guests aside from her that have been announced. So, you know, who else could be showing up at Celebration?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll have more Rogue One actors be at the convention.
Mm-hmm. Do you happen to have a dream Star Wars actor that you wish would show up at a con, even if you already have their signature right now?
Just Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman, yeah. I can see that.
Or, you know, obviously Harrison Ford, but yeah. Natalie Portman, but, you know, either one of those showing up at a Star Wars convention would, and especially signing, I think I have a better chance of a meteor hitting me.
Yeah, I could probably see that. So before I get on the last question, I kind of want to spring something on you. What is your most, I don't want to say valuable, but most rare Star Wars autograph that you have?
I would say, I have a Harrison Ford signature that I didn't get it in person, but, you know, it's still his signature. And it's on a, a kind of a rare pose of him from A New Hope, doing you know how the actors pose for promotional shots with a white background. I haven't really seen that picture anywhere else, so you know I wouldn't say it's rare, but I'm definitely happy I have it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anyone from the sequel trilogy that's not Ford or Mark Hamill?
Yeah, I have the only one I have so far is I have Daisy Ridley's autograph.
Oh, I'm so
jealous. Yeah, I couldn't wait for her to show up at a convention, and I just the autograph collector in me just had to get it as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily I am able to get autographs online sometimes from some places I trust.
That's good. So speaking of places you trust.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're the guy to ask. So what kind of advice do you have for potential collectors of, you know, if they want to get into autograph collecting or if they're looking for a place to buy them, you know, price suggestions, how to spot a fake, things like that?
Well, I think the first thing I would do if I wanted to start getting into this is figure out whose autograph you want and go from there. There's a lot of really helpful websites where you can see what their signature looks like. There's even some really good Facebook groups or some web forums that help out autograph collectors. It's its own little community, believe it or not. So when you're researching, you know, who to trust online or something, a good place to start might be to look up the UACC club. Mm-hmm. It's the Universal Autograph Collectors Club, and they have a list of dealers on their website, and they're pretty strict from what I can tell on, you know, holding those people accountable. So generally, you can, if they're listed on that website, you can trust them. Or if you're looking online for a photo, there's a lot of really good verification services these days.
Mm-hmm.
One is called PSA DNA certification. That's where it'll have a hologram on the photo with a number, and you can go to the website and verify it's real.
Okay.
But I would encourage people to go to a local convention or, you know, a big convention like Celebration or Comic-Con. And that way you know it's real. You don't have to, you know, stress yourself out with, is this a fake or not, because you've gotten it in person.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few websites. Obviously, Star Wars Authentics is the new autograph dealer for Star Wars items now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have that kind of money, then go for it. I personally wouldn't pay, you know, $400, $500 for the autographs they have on there. That's just me, though. Even though they are, you know, guaranteed to be real, I just don't think they're worth that much.
Yeah.
Even if there's the highest quality, great signatures, just I'm not personally going to shell out that kind of money for an autograph, especially if there's a point in the future where I can see him at a convention or something and get it at, you know, a much lower price point.
Yeah.
And it really just depends whose autograph you want. If you want, you know, Mark Hamill's autograph, he's obviously going to cost more than, say, Jeremy Bullock, the Boba Fett actor. So you kind of just got to watch out for things like that. For some of the bigger names at the conventions, you can expect to pay, you know, over $100, especially for someone like Mark.
Yeah.
And I believe Carrie, when before she passed on, was charging about $100 for hers at celebrations.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And one thing I noticed is generally the Star Wars actors do charge about $10 more than they would at a non-Star Wars convention for their signature.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one autograph might be 50, you know, Peter Mayhew's autograph might be $50 at Celebration, but maybe at a local convention like Dragon Con, maybe it's $40, mm-hmm. or, you know, vice versa, you know, something in with that price difference.
Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed when I was in Anaheim was that there are actually vendors outside of the main autograph hall that actually, you know, specialize in collecting autographs and, you know, even sell stuff from actors who even just appeared as little bit parts in the original trilogy, or even, you know, the big names like Ewan McGregor from the prequel trilogy. Is this something that if people are at Celebration or really any convention and they have a specialized booth from like some website or something that is selling autographs, do you recommend maybe people go there if they can't find, you know, if there's an actor or actress that, you know, doesn't usually go to these type of things? Should they look there?
I would say try to do your research first.
Mm-hmm.
I do buy from a vendor that does show up to one of those two conventions. Usually he goes to the celebrations, and so I'm comfortable trusting him with his sources. You know, learn the signature of the actor you want really well, and you know, make sure that if you look at the photo yourself, you can, you know, is it, you know, if you know the signature, you should be able to tell if it's real or not.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to ask those people questions. When did you get the autograph? Where were they at? You know, things like that. If they can't answer any of those questions, I'm personally not comfortable buying from them.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're like, oh, I got that 2 years ago, you know, outside, you know, a late night talk show or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of these vendors have some sort of verification, whether it be, you know, the PSA DNA hologram I talked about earlier,
mm-hmm.
or being a part of one of the certified, autograph clubs that, help police on forgeries and fakes. So if you're looking for, you know, maybe your favorite prequel actor who isn't going to be at Star Wars Celebration, that's definitely something that you can check out.
Mm-hmm.
You probably will pay a little bit of a higher price than if they were there in person, but, you know, they're not there. You make with what you can get.
Yeah.
So I would recommend it, but, you know your autograph. Know who's selling it to you, you know, it just, you know, kind of use your best instincts with those type of things.
Yeah. I can definitely agree with that.
Yeah. Cause you know, if you're not comfortable with it, then you don't have to buy it.
Exactly.
You know, I'm of no illusion that I might have one or two fakes in my collection.
Mm-hmm.
I think all autograph collectors get burnt at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But you can just do your best, do your research, and generally you're in good hands.
Sounds good.
I definitely wouldn't buy anything off eBay. just to make that plainly clear.
Yeah, I think many people would say that.
I mean, especially, yeah, I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. Because a lot of these vendors, they're the same people there every year. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that makes them legit, but if they're selling fakes, they're not – people are going to get upset, and they're not going to be at these conventions.
Yeah.
Like, this is how they make their living, and – you know, they're not going to be at every Star Wars celebration if they're selling obvious forgeries.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. Well, Kyle, do you have any more last-minute advice for people, or is that just about it?
I would like to give some advice on getting autographs at Star Wars Celebration real quick.
Okay.
I've seen some people on the Facebook groups, like, really concerned how the autographing and that will work. Well, just, you know, keep in mind the Topps company selling these autographs want your money, and they want you to get your autograph. So there's going to be plenty of rules posted on what you're supposed to do and when you need to show up for the autograph. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't fret or anything. You'll get your autograph. Just read the rules and when you're supposed to be there, and you're going to get taken care of.
Yeah, I know a lot of people seem to have concerns about, oh, well, you know, am I guaranteed an autograph, or I don't want to pay the money, and then, you know, something happened, and they get shown, like, shoot away, and you can't get it anymore because they're not going to come back, or, you know, they're only there one day. So, yeah, definitely read the rules, and like you said, do your research, because
yeah,
all mm-hmm. it takes absolutely. Is, you know, a half hour to an hour to just sit down, discover what you need to be doing and all that. So,
yeah. And if you're at the convention hall wandering around, ask someone that works there. They're going to give you correct information.
Yep.
They might tell you need to, oh, your ticket number 500, you need to come back at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. They will let you know what you need to do so you can get your autograph.
Exactly. All right, Kyle. Well, I really appreciate you coming on to the Outer Rim with me today. I know a lot of people are probably going to benefit from this, honestly. I've actually had people ask me that have never been to conventions before for celebration tips, and that's actually something we're going to be talking about later on, either on the Outer Rim or Echo Base as the convention gets nearer. So I'll definitely continue to point, or I'll always have people come back to this episode just so they can hear, you know, advice from an actual person who not deals in this type of things, but it has experience. So,
well, I really appreciate being on the show, Chris, and you know, thanks again.
No problem. All right. Well, I think now that we got that out of the way, I
that
think that's all we have.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
All right. But before we go, one last thing. We want to remind everybody about the Memorial Gala for Carrie Fisher at Star Wars Celebration Orlando. Mm-hmm. The Drowning in Moonlight event is going to be on Thursday, April 13th. So hopefully you're not doing anything else. The nighttime stuff at the parks isn't until the next day. I think the 501st thing is on a different day. So you should be in the clear for this gala if you go.
Unless you're waiting in line.
Unless you're waiting in line for that panel we talked about. But go to this.
Carrie would forgive you, I guess.
She might. But tickets are $40 per person. There's a special $75 rate if you're couples.
And that was actually
And you don't have
I was
to
say, apparently that ended.
It's just for two tickets. You don't have to be a couple.
And it also ended on Valentine's Day. So.
But they just extended it today. Actually,
oh, so good.
You're still
because
in the clear.
I need to buy the tickets for me and my friend who are going.
Yes,
well, there you go. Get on that real quick. The proceeds are going to the Midnight Mission, which is a charity that was really close to Carrie Fisher. So definitely check this out. It's going to be fun. I wish I could go, but I am donating a poster for auction. So yay, go bid on that.
Mike, do you have a link for people to go to if they want to buy tickets or get more information?
Yes. You can go to drowninginmoonlight.com or follow @CarrieGala on Twitter.
All right, cool. Yeah, I was originally not going to this, and depending on how schedules plan out, might not be able to. But we will gladly promote it, and you know, if I have people that are going, might do it. We'll see. So, and if you're going, let us know. You can contact us in a, well, we have a variety of places. We do have our email, which is outerrim@randomchatter.com. So let us know if you're, you know, if you're going to Celebration, if you're going to the Gala, because you don't need to be going to Celebration to go to the Gala. We need to clear that up too. I don't know, Mike, if you mentioned that or not.
No, a badge is not required.
Mm-hmm. Which is very good, because I think it's outside of Disney. Is that correct?
It is, yes.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah, it's not.
Sorry, I got to scroll back up here. It's going to be at the Rosen Center Hotel.
Okay. Sounds good.
Don't know if that's in walking distance of the convention center, but it's that's what Uber and taxis and bicycles are for.
Exactly.
Get a bicycle, ride in your costume.
So yeah, if you are going to Celebration or something like that, let us know. Or if you have comments about the show, anything we talked about. We will read your feedback on air. So I know it's tempting. I know some people don't, you know, if you send us feedback, it doesn't get written. I mean, it doesn't get read on air, but we will, just because that's how much we love our listeners. So again, outerrim@randomchatter.com.
You can also find us on facebook.com/randomchatternetwork, and that covers all of the Random Chatter Network, including the Outer Rim and our other shows that we have. You can also check us out on Twitter at Outer Rim Podcast. The network Twitters is at Random Chatter. My Twitter is at Betty Bloodshed or SCCC Nerds Attack. Chris's is at The Curse of Chris, and Mike is It's The Rocketeer.
We got a ton of shows over at randomchatter.com, so please head on over and check those out. We just redesigned the website so you can find them a little bit easier. We have it broken down by entertainment, which includes my other show, The Retro Convo, and Chris's other show, Random Chatter. There's also the Star Wars shows, of which you will find Ghost Stories, which is the other show that Lindsay and I do, which is going to be returning this weekend.
Woo.
And you can also find all the other TV shows that are great on there. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Case Files, Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, Crash Couch. And where did we put Cordcast? Is that under entertainment?
That is entertainment, yes.
Okay, so back up at entertainment. But we also have a ton of other TV and book reviews on the website, too. So there is a lot of stuff going on there. Please go check it out.
So spread the word too. Leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitchers again. Stitcher again. We are doing a new format on Outer Rim Podcast. So if you left us a review on Outer Rim Podcast on iTunes previously, please go and update it. We'd really appreciate it. And just spread the word. Tell your friends about us. We'd love to hear from them and hear from you as well.
And we are on Patreon at patreon.com/randomchatter. Just, you know, quick reminder, it is only a dollar, but that gets you into our Slack channel, which is where all of us hang out. I pop in, tell people good morning all the time, despite what Chris says. Chris is always in there.
Yes.
But it's really a cool way to interact with us. And I know for Retro Convo, we get some of our ideas for the topics there. So please, you know, if you can, do that and jump on Slack with us. It's fun to hang out with. You know, I get a notification. You can at me there, and I will respond.
That actually goes for all of the shows, too. Like, I know we get some of our discussion topics from Echo Base.
So, yeah, you're basically feeding us.
Mm-hmm.
Just what we like. But, again, thank you to everybody who has already donated. You know, you guys are the rock stars.
They're also Forsketeers.
Everybody is a Forsketeer.
Everyone is a Forsketeer if you like Star Wars.
Yeah, your hat is in the mail. Chris is sending those out.
All right. Well, I think that's all we have time for on this week's Outer Rim. We will be back next week to talk about all of the cool news that comes out of Toy Fair, hopefully. And if there's any more really lame book news, maybe we'll have to talk about that too.
Hey, there could be some really awesome book news.
That is true. Maybe some news about Aftermath, Empire's End, will
yes
come out. So
We're getting closer to some book about a blue guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you knock those books, Chris. Look, I am going to Emerald City, and Timothy Zahn is going to be there. So I'll go chit-chat with him.
I'm excited for the Thrawn book.
See? Yeah. I'll come back with news and or a restraining order. It'll be fine.
Let's hope with the first one. Just for everyone's sake. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for joining us on the Outer Rim. We'll be back next week. So take care.
Hey, sorry, folks. I'm sure to do better next time.
This podcast is copyright to randomchatter.com and is not affiliated with Lucasfilm or Disney. All music and sounds are copyright to their respective owners.